Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now let's read together, please. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you so much today in Sunday school as we had the privilege to teach on thy word. God, what a privilege and an honor to have thy word. Now we get an opportunity to hear it preached. What a great opportunity. God, an opportunity for you to work in our hearts as the man of God comes and preaches the word of God. Father, I pray that you'd anoint Pastor Johnson with thy Holy Spirit power for that task ahead. But Father, more important, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. Help us meet our needs. And Father, the greatest need in this room is if someone does not know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. If they don't, I pray today they would settle that before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, turn your cell phone off or turn it to vibrate. Or if it goes off in the service and we hear it, the person next to you will begin to grab for matches in the waistband and you're in trouble. Got it in one more time. Did you notice that? How about that? That was good. Now I'm going to ask you to sit still and listen very carefully now. These messages in January especially are messages intended to help us for this year. Truths that will help us through this year. Proverbs 4:23. Look at that verse. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, that's your heart, are the issues of life. Let me explain what the verse means. The issues of life means where your life is going, why your life is going that way, and where your life will end up. Keep your heart with all diligence because the heart condition determines where your life is going, why your life is going that direction. And your heart is going to determine the condition of your heart is going to determine how your life turns out. Now here's what that means for us today. Now listen to me. It means, friend, that God, by that one simple principle in Proverbs, showed us that my life, what's going to happen to me in 2010, is not going, the condition of my life, the direction of my life, is not affected by my circumstances. It's affected by the condition of my heart when I face those circumstances. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? The only thing we can control is the condition of our heart. That's the only thing we can control. Since we don't know what's going to happen this year, we don't know what kind of circumstances we will face, what situations we will be in, since we don't know that. And if you're one of those kind of people who kind of lives by the moment, well, I'll see how it goes and then you're in trouble already. Life will overtake you, run you down, stomp you outright, welcome on your chest, and throw you in front of somebody's doorway. I mean, you're in serious trouble. Because if you keep your heart with all diligence, out of that heart that is kept the way it's supposed to be, where your life is going, why your life is going that way, and how it's going to turn out is determined by the condition of your heart. See, that's a good thing because that's what I can control. I can't control what will happen to me. I can't control the relationships around me. I can't control the circumstances of my life. I don't know what's going to happen. Yesterday at 4:20-something in the afternoon, I'm sitting there in the recliner, and all of a sudden it starts shaking. And I thought, dude, did we get a vibrator on this thing and I didn't know it? What is this all about? About 30 seconds. You felt the earthquake yesterday? About 30 seconds. It shook for a little bit. Now, you're from California. Earthquakes, no big deal. Happens all the time. As I told my Sunday school class this morning, one minute you're here, next minute you're two blocks away. I mean, it's just how it works. Things like that take place. I had no idea. And the ground shook. And you could tell it was an earthquake. And then it kind of hung on for a moment. A little longer than those usual things. Thanksgiving several years back, there was an earthquake, if you remember, and we had just sat down for the Thanksgiving meal, which is very important in my house. Any meal is very important in my house, but that one in particular, we bowed our heads. We said thanks for the Thanksgiving meal that God had given us. And I said, amen. And I raised my head and it was boom. It was like somebody hit the house with a car. It wasn't one of those rolling earthquakes. It was just a boom like that. And we went, was that an earthquake? Yeah, pass the biscuits. All right, here we go. And, you know, we're going down. Let's go down with a full stomach. Amen. We're going. This is it. Those kind of things. There's something simple like that. And the paper was talking about how people were so upset and nervous. Okay, I understand that. But question. So my life is determined. The quality of my life, the direction of my life, everything about my life is determined by what happens to me, not according to the Bible. Now listen to me. If I will keep my heart with all diligence, Proverbs 4:23, if I keep my heart with all diligence, out of the condition of my heart will be where my life is going, how it's going to turn out, and what kind of life I'm going to have. So let's get this morning. Let's understand what it means to keep your heart. Let's understand, first of all, what it means when the Bible talks about your heart. Is it talking about your heart, your literal blood-pumping organ in your chest? See, in the Bible, the word heart in the Bible is used 765 times. And a vast majority of those times is not talking about the heart as an organ. It's talking about the heart as the seat of who you really are. In the Bible, your heart is you, the real you. It's where your soul is. It's where your emotions are. It's where your thinking and your thought processes are. It's your personality. It's the real you. We can fool the people with this stuff out here, but your heart is who you really are. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We've seen it often, over and over again, splashed across the headlines of the news, people who we thought were some kind of good folk, and then it turns out they're a bunch of lowlifes and immoral as a bunch of dogs. But that's who they really were. It's not like that, well, they changed. They didn't change. That's what they were really like. That's what their heart was like. You see? Now look at me, folks. Look at me. If we can get this morning, it's a very simple principle. Won't be any earth-shaking truths come out of this thing today other than this. If I can keep my heart with all diligence, where my life is going, what kind of life I have, and how it turns out is going to be determined by what I do with this thing God has given me, this real me on the inside here. Out of it are all the issues of life, everything. You're not going to, look at me, you're not going to be overtaken by the circumstances and conditions of life. It's going to be one of those deals where you wake up one morning, you know what I'm talking about, and you just feel good. You're happy. You just wake up with a smile on your face. You get out of bed. That's a good start. You get out of bed. Get yourself ready for your day. You take your Bible and you read it. And you're just enjoying your time with the Lord. And you ask the Holy Spirit to control you. And you get your heart right before God. And as we use the expression in the South when I was a kid, you get God all over you. I mean, you're ready for the day. You're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You're ready to go. You're enjoying your day. And you're happy in Jesus. And then you go to work. And before you can get to work, somebody who came to America and not only did not learn the language but did not figure out where the gas pedals are on American cars gets in front of you and drives so cotton picking slow like they got nowhere to go and they're no hurry to get there. And you're behind them yelling at them, I got a job! Get out of the way! Pull over and milk it, pal! And you're honking your horn at them and words are going through your mind. You're not supposed to think or say any longer. And all of a sudden, whoop, that goes right out the window. One person. That's all it took. Then you walk into the office and there they are. The person you had hoped who got fired last Friday is still there. And they meet you at the door and they immediately start griping about their job and how much they hate their job and how much of this. And then they start giving you the office or workplace politics about who's with who and who's doing what and who shouldn't be doing this and everything else. And then you go and take your lunch break and you go somewhere for lunch and you order a BLT and they give you a bologna sandwich and they don't get what you want at lunch either. And then you go back to work and that person meets you as soon as you walk in the door. They work you for 4 or 5 hours. And if you work with the public, you know what that's like. And then the end of the day comes, you get in your car and you drive home, and there's the same person you were behind on the way to work who meets you at the end of the parking lot, and you have to follow them home. And then it turns out to be your mother-in-law. And she comes to the house for dinner. And what was such a good day went so bad. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Who you really are, the Bible says, if we'll keep. Now, the word keep in the Bible means to guard. It means to protect. It means to inspect. Like a military thing where they come and they do an inspection upon the troops and their condition and their functionality. If you've ever been in the military, you know what I'm talking about. They line you up for inspection and you do all this stuff. I remember one inspection, we had an inspector general inspection, and they had us out washing leaves on trees. Yeah. I thought, tell me, this general is going to pull up here and say, you got dusty leaves on your trees in front of your barracks. But we did everything we could to get prepared. That kind, look at me, inspect, protect, guard it, keep it with all diligence. That means today's protection is not good for tomorrow. Well, I got my heart right one time with God. No. Diligence means it's going to be a daily, regular, faithful thing in your life that you're going to have to walk guard, inspect the quality of, and make sure your heart is what it's supposed to be, because if it's not, the direction, the issues of your life will be forever affected by that. Now, folks, let me say this quickly and get on the rest of the message. Look at me. For some of us today, that's going to have to kill all this excuse junk. Well, I had a rough childhood, so, okay, I understand that. I did too. But question, so the rest of my life is ruined? Or is it because in my heart I've not dealt with this the right way? Now, let's get it straight this morning. If we don't keep with all diligence our heart, the issues of our life will forever be affected, and it will be the condition of our heart that determines that, not what happened to me 20 years ago. Not everybody in this room has had all good memories. I remember as a boy growing up in a drunkard's home, and the first time I ever saw Leave It to Beaver. Thank you. I saw Leave It to Beaver. I saw that show and I thought, man, nobody lived like that. That's a TV show. It's not the way it was in my house. And I, as a kid, I grew up and I thought, what kind of life would that be? Mom comes down with the big poofy dress things, you know, with the apron on, and Dad's got a shirt and a tie on, and there's your irritating brother over there, Wally, or whatever his name is. And I thought, what kind of life could that possibly be? And I thought, that's not the way it really is. None of us, look at me, none of us grew up and Leave It to Beaver. So our life is ruined because of our past, yes? No. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, the heart and its condition are the directions of your life, how you deal with it, the way you live your life, the way your life is affected. The quality of your life is determined by the condition of your heart. And we have to keep that diligently. It's going to be something we have to work on the rest of our days, and I'll show you how we do that. To do this, to keep my heart the way it's supposed to be, I have to understand the contents of my heart. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the Bible says, the human heart, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now look here. That means, ladies and gentlemen, you can't trust your heart. You can't depend on it. You can't feel like in this philosophy, this humanistic philosophy that's pumped out across our nation through our school systems and through the media and things is, well, you just trust your heart and everything will be okay. No, no, the Bible says the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't depend on the condition of your heart by your own personal evaluation. You can't trust it. It'll mislead you. How do you think we get to the condition of our lives but by trusting our own hearts? When in reality, see, the heart is also the seat of the natures God gave you, the new nature, the nature you were born with, which is a carnal nature. It's a fleshly nature. It's a wicked nature. You have one and I have one. Every one of us has that nature with which we are born, a carnal nature. When you receive Christ as your Savior, God puts a new nature there also. Doesn't replace the carnal one. Would God it were so. Would God there was eradication of the sinful flesh. Would God that God would burn the sinful nature out so we could not sin. That's not going to happen. You're going to have that sinful nature along with the new nature you received with Christ for the rest of your days. And that's in your heart also. And because of that sinful nature, we can't trust our heart. Well, here it is. Look, well, here's what I think. I feel like everything's okay. Mm-mm. Human heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You have to understand the contents of the heart. And dear friend, I would hope today that Jesus is there. We use the expression, receive Christ as your personal Savior into your heart. Revelation 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." That's an expression of how Christ comes to live within us when we get saved. Colossians 1 and verse 27, the Bible says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." See, my heart, ladies and gentlemen, until I get saved, my heart has one nature. It's sinful, it's carnal, and it's selfish. But when I receive Christ as my Savior, God puts in my heart the person of Christ and a new creature. Now the contents of this old wicked heart, ladies and gentlemen, has a brand new nature, which John chapter 5 says cannot sin. It's perfect. It's sinless. It loves God. It loves what's right. Have you accepted Christ? Have you trusted him as your personal Savior? Literally, ladies and gentlemen, does Jesus Christ live in your heart? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," Jesus said, "I will open the door and come into him and sup with him and he with me." Years ago, there's a painting, many of you may have seen it. There's a painting an artist did of the rendering of Revelation 3:20, that verse of standing at the door knocking. It's a picture, if you've seen it, it's Jesus standing in front of the doorway with a lantern in one hand, his hand raised to knock on the door with the other. It's a kind of a stone face on the front of a house, an archway door. And there's a door cracked open about that far or so. You can see a little boy standing there. You can see into the house. There's a fire burning and a family inside. And Jesus is standing there with his hand ready to knock on the door. The artist who painted that picture invited his friend to come and to look at it when he first finished this painting. And he asked his friend, "What do you think of that picture?" And the guy says, "Well, that's Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And the man said, the artist said, "That's right." And he says, "Well, what do you think of the painting?" And he says, "It's beautiful. I see it." He says, "But if I may offer just one brief criticism." He said, "Look," he said, "there is no handle on the door on the outside where Jesus is standing." And the artist said, "No, that's on purpose. Because that door has to be opened from the inside. Jesus stands at the heart door this morning. And he's knocking. He's not asking you to be baptized. He's not asking you to join a church. He's asking you to receive him as your personal Savior. That's salvation. When I trust Jesus Christ and his payment on the cross for my salvation from hell, his resurrection for my eternal life, and I trust Christ to save me and ask him to do so, open the door and receive Christ. That's when you become born again. That's when God puts Christ in you, the hope of glory. He comes to live inside of you. There's a new nature there, friend. And now the contents of a heart that was once just desperately wicked and that had no hope or chance and was nothing but selfish and blind and darkened by sin is now have the light of Christ living there. A new nature is there. And guess what? Your heart can be changed. God, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But it starts with Christ in your heart. Is he there this morning? See, but if you're going to keep your heart with all diligence, you must understand and know the contents of your heart. Then, of course, to keep your heart with all diligence, you must examine your heart's condition. "Well, I think everything's okay, Pastor Johnson. You know, I got some issues like everybody else. But, hey, after all, my heart's probably just as good as anybody else's." Psalm 139, verse 23, the Bible says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there have been any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That is probably, I use that psalm and verse in Psalms probably as the most regular prayer that I pray in my life, and that's the prayer of God, search me out. Look into my heart, Lord. To understand the condition, examine the condition of your heart, you need to ask God. Look at me. You need to ask God. Don't ask your mother, ask God. Don't ask your friend, ask God. Don't trust yourself, ask God. Dear Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Lord, is there something in my heart that's not right today? I don't know how you look at it in your life, how you live it. When things start happening to me and I get aggravated or frustrated or angry or short-tempered and I get myself in a situation, I know what that means. I need to get alone with God and say, okay, Lord, what's the matter? What I do, what have I allowed, and what in the world's going on, and search me, O God, and know my heart. Ask God to search you. Friend, have you done that? And have you been willing to listen to his response? Have you been, he'll point things out. Oh my, the Holy Spirit is not bashful. He'll step right up and say, here it is, here it is. This is it right here. And we think, ah, that's not it. I've been living with that for years. But that doesn't make it right. We have to check the condition of our heart. We need to ask God and to do a heart check on me. Do it, hey, diligently means regularly, faithfully. What you check today with your heart is not good enough for tomorrow. How many times have we seen people who go to the doctor get a heart examination? EKG, stress test, treadmill, you know, they do all the stuff. And then the next day they have a heart attack. Because those tests don't reveal really the condition of your heart, just what has happened with it. The truth of the matter is, in my spiritual life, what God revealed to me yesterday, I guarantee you in 24 hours something else has come up. And I need to ask God to search me out carefully. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Lord, I want my heart to be right today. It should be a desire of our lives. Let him reveal the heart condition to you, and he'll let you know, hey, he'll let you know if bitterness is there. He'll let you know if there's a callousness or a coldness or indifference or sin or you're harboring something against someone. God will reveal to you a sorrowful heart, a broken heart. And also, he'll reveal to you if your heart is right. See, but preaching this stuff happening in my life, and as far as I know, I believe everything is okay. Then ask God to search you. If it's right, he'll let you know. Everything's okay. Hey. And there is nothing like getting a green light from God and him impressing on your mind, everything's okay, son. Everything's all right. Your heart's all right. Everything's fine. We've all been to the physical and watched the doctor work us over and do the blood pressure and the tests and everything else. And you're waiting anxiously for the words, everything's fine. And you walk out and go get a hamburger. If we're going to keep our heart with diligence, we then must take steps to correct it. David said, Psalm chapter 51 and verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Okay, now look, if God reveals something to us about our heart that's not right, then we need to fix that. There is no cure for bitterness except forgiveness. There is no other cure. You can talk about it till the cows come home. You can sit around. You can go to the person and confront them. Tell them what they did to you, and it will not change what has happened to you. Their sorry will not work either. It helps. It's a blessing. It's nice to hear them say, I made a mistake, and I'm sorry for that. But it still doesn't change the hurt that came into your life. Do you realize when God reveals to you that there is bitterness in your heart, there is only one remedy, and that is forgiveness? Wait a minute, Pastor. That's not fair. I have to forgive the person who hurt me? That's even worse. No, it's not worse. That's you keeping your heart with all diligence. That's God giving you the ability to get that heart straightened out. So there is no bitterness toward anybody. Because, friend, the Bible speaks in Hebrews about the root of bitterness springing up, defiling many. A lot of people in this world today, every relationship they have is tainted because of their bitterness towards somebody else. And they think, well, I'm just upset with them. No, you're not. You have a bitterness in your life. That bitterness does not stay contained. It will work its way into every relationship in your life. And there is only one to fix it, and that's by forgiveness. The forgiveness you received, you get. Be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You grant the forgiveness that you need. Forget it whether they need it or not. You forgive them for your sake, and bitterness is removed from your heart and your life. You can't live with it. Bitterness is the only chemical that destroys its own container. It will ruin your life and absolutely sour everything about your life. And this world today, it's sad, but this world today will let you live like that and excuse you for it. Well, he is a violent person because, after all, he had a dysfunctional family and trouble in his life. Get forgiveness, my friend. Grant the forgiveness you need and get out of that thing, because that's the only way. God will reveal if there's bitterness there. If there's sin there, then you confess it, get it right, and get it out of your life, and you get your heart right. Well, that's one of the reasons I don't want to ask him to search my heart. I mean, I know what he's going to show me, but you need to know that. I still remember on several occasions I stood next to the bed, and it's usually a man. As the doctor was standing there saying, "Well, you've had a heart attack. Did you have any symptoms?" "Oh, well, you know, numbness in my left arm and pain in my chest and passed out a couple times. Is that it?" "Well, how long ago that happen?" "Yeah, about 2 years ago." "And it's been going on?" "Oh, yeah, I've been having problems for about 2 years. Did you know? I probably had a heart problem, but I thought, you know, why go to the doctor? He's just going to tell me I got a heart problem." "Yeah, man, you got to be kidding me." I stood there and thought, man, don't do that. You get the symptoms of a heart attack, the idea is go get it taken care of. Hiding your head in the sand means you probably nod off somewhere on the side of the road. That's not a wise thing to do, yes? So we say, "I don't want to ask God about my heart because I know what he's going to do." But you need to know that, yes? So then he reveals it. And if there's sin in my heart, I need to get that right. Because sin in your heart becomes sin in your life, and then you begin to taint everything around you, because sin never stays contained either. These things of the heart, you see, the issues of life are affected by them. You go to your God and say, "Father, search my heart." And he says, "There's a coldness between you and your spouse. And it's your fault. And it starts with you." And rather than run out and point your finger at your spouse and say, "See, that's your problem. Your problem is you're cold toward me. God told me that's what your problem is." Then we go to our God and we say, "Oh, God, please help me to love my wife. Help me to love my husband like I should. Look at me." He will point out to you what it is. He is an expert marksman, always hits the target. But when he reveals to us what the condition of the heart is, you got to fix that. Listen, that book right there can fix anything. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure. The Bible says, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, making everything right here. You apply the word of God to the situation, it fixes what's going on in the heart, and that fixes what's going on in my life. And that I can correct. If I have to wait for someone to come and fix my life, they may never come. Then what? No, you keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God can give us a new heart. David said again, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." So you grew up with a rough childhood, bad background. And it made you one of those kind of people that's very tough. Calloused in here. Tough heart, tough life, tough mind. That's kind of how you approach everything. He said in the Old Testament that he would take that stony heart out of the heart of Israel and replace it with a fleshy heart, one that he could do something with. God can, look at me, God can help us. And if we can't fix the busted one we have, he'll create a clean heart in us and give us a new heart. And life is different now. And our perspective in life is different, and it's changed. You see, friend, the only thing you can change and affect is the condition of your heart. That's all you can do. But if you don't, your direction in life is never going to get right. No amount of little cutesy pie sayings, no matter philosophies, no matter this or that, nothing's going to change that until we keep with all diligence our heart. Now, let me say this and finish. And understand that the condition of your heart is going to be a matter you're going to have to deal with for the rest of your life. Here, you get over the bitterness issue with some person, and it's a blessing. Oh, it is such a blessing to be right. Someone else comes along, and they hurt you. And the bitterness comes back. Well, Pastor Johnson, I'm going to spend the rest of my life forgiving people. You are. You are going to spend the rest of your life forgiving people. Why do you think Jesus was, his response when asked in Matthew 18 was, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? And Jesus said, till 70 times 7. That's 490 times per person, per offense. You know what he was teaching them? Get ready to practice forgiveness, because you're going to need the practice for the rest of your life. Once you've asked God for grace to forgive somebody and the bitterness is gone, next time something happens from someone else, you know, understand the process. Now, I know what I need to do. I need to forgive them and ask God's grace to set it aside, to keep the bitterness out of my heart. I know what happened last time. I let sin in my heart and it showed up in my life, and I got that right. I know what I need to do now. I need to get my heart right before God and go forward with what I need to do. And when I'm facing things that I don't understand and battles that come my way, and I ask my God, Lord, is everything okay? And he reveals and lets me know that my heart is all right, then I know what that means, because there's nothing is blessed. Nothing is wonderful. Is knowing that your heart is clean and everything's okay between you and God. And while the storm rages and the battle flies, friend, but my heart is all right. My heart is good. And as far as I know, with me and God, how do you think Joseph endured 20 years of the mistreatment of his brothers? Sold as a slave in Genesis there. Sold as a slave, then to Egypt. Then sold as a slave again. Then falsely imprisoned. 13 years there. Just right there. 13 years of this young man's life. Yet everywhere Joseph landed, he landed on his feet. Find the names of his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, that he had once he became second man in the land of Egypt. Manasseh's name means forgetting. Ephraim's name means fruitful. Joseph learned to forget and to be blessed in his life and go on. And God, he kept it right, you see, because he kept his heart right. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. The only thing we can control in 2010 is the content and condition of our heart. That's all we can control. Can't control anything else. Can't control what people do. Can't control what family does. Can't control what life does. Can't control the employment situation. Can't control the government. Nobody does. You can't do any of that stuff. There's no way. If we're looking for externals to fix the direction and the quality of your life, you've been looking in the wrong place for a long time. It is time to realize it's an internal issue, and it is the condition of my heart.